It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I wish people... You know, we don't do like a warm-up on our show.
No.
No.
And good morning. Turn it on and go.
We turn it on and go. But the stuff we started with this morning, where... Anyway, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Oh, my gosh.
You are funny.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just trying not to use it as a weapon. I'm trying to use my humor as way more of an entertainment, in an entertainment capacity than in a weapon, because... Listen, I'm Italian, which means, or part Italian, which means I can argue, we argue for sport.
Sure.
It's just kind of what we do. Like, we see it as a really healthy exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you get hot about something just because you're excited about it. It
right.
doesn't mean that you're angry.
No.
And a lot of people don't really understand that in the reserved culture of the Midwest. Sorry. It just is what it is.
So you try to use your power for good and not evil.
Well, don't we all? I think that's
me.
Maybe
that's,
and there's
that's
our
my
show,
motto.
Everyone. There's our show, everyone. Have a great Sunday.
No, we were
use your power
about
for good. Got to move on.
That you're funny.
Like, oh, thank you.
Funny.
You know what? There are days that I am depends pants funny.
That's right.
Okay? There are days when I am adult diaper funny. I'm just warning everybody right now. I'm hoping today might be.
Today might
or may
be
not
the
be one of those days. Are your brackets all ready to go? Like, have they busted up already? Are you still in good shape? You're hanging in there? Do you do March Madness?
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, yeah.
I choose my teams by
color.
The colors of their uniforms.
You're like my mom used to. My mom would just bet on every mm-hmm. Catholic school. Like, if it was a Catholic university or a Christian university, she
That's
was
it.
Like, they were her number one seed.
Yeah. You know? God will
like it
take
didn't
them
matter
through.
If they were like a 15. Like it didn't matter. Like they're gonna win. Okay, they're gonna win. I know.
Mom,
it.
They're not even.
She'd be
in
like,
it.
I know, Mom, they're not.
They
already
people.
Lost. I know, but they're gonna resurrect. It's Easter. It's Easter season. No, they don't. It's a one and done, Mom. It's a one and done. No, they're gonna resurrect. There's going to be the consolation bracket. They're going to come back around. I go, okay.
At an old, years and years ago, at an old job I had, it was in a predominantly male environment.
Sure.
And I bet I did my bracket on the colors, right?
Like, and did you, oh my gosh.
2 years in a row, I won. And so I was banned from that. The guys were like, no, no more from
you're
you.
Like, what is
like,
the sorcery
me, like,
that
just
she.
Just give me my $100
what
now
is this,
then.
Yeah,
like,
what is right. the sorcery that she's using
right.
to
so
win?
So they were like, yeah, no, you're yeah. done. You're over.
No, I'm hopeful. But it seems like parity now in all sports, whether it's professional or college, just seems to be the order of the day. So I think it's still anyone's tourney, but mm-hmm. I guess we'll see. I just love the drama. I mean, I wish it was almost like, I think I heard talk about it maybe expanding to like more teams, and I think that would be fun. I mean, but it's already pretty long. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, how many more teams can you get? You start out with 64 teams, for God's sake.
Yeah, but then you might as well then throw high school teams in there.
Like, oh, God.
Take the top five high school teams and see if they can beat St. Mary's. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Or Liberty or whoever the
Lake Geneva Middle
whoever
School
the perennial,
intramural
whoever the perennial
team.
16, 15 seeds are, right? You make it every year and you're like, James Madison again, right? You're like, I don't know.
I love to see the underdogs, though.
No, listen.
That's
I
the
totally
most fun.
I love all of that. I mean, I'm a fan of the tournament, and mm-hmm. I don't really have a school. Like, I don't have a school.
Right.
Like, I like great games, and I like exciting, and I always like the undersized team that hucks it up from 3-point land and
right.
ends up beating some number one seed,
right?
And like, you know what I mean?
That's
like,
the fun.
That's interesting yeah. to me. Like, and I've also learned to not be attached to my bracket.
Oh yeah, who cares?
And to me, filling out more brackets just means more pain and disappointment. So I'm not a fan of multiple brackets. Like, I don't want to pull out like multiple lottery tickets. I might as well just do that. I mean, I'm not going to win. So it's like, multiple brackets just means more work. I don't know.
That's
anyway.
Funny.
Listen, I have a topic on today's show that, and I'm not, I don't have any guests today. I've had guests for like the past few.
I know you have
shows. And I was reminded by my team this week that this is the first time, the first week since the new year that I haven't traveled.
Really?
I didn't believe it myself.
You didn't go anywhere. Well, you came here to Lake Geneva.
No, but I wasn't traveling for work.
Well, this is work?
I know, but this is the first time I haven't traveled.
Out of state. Well, I was trying to not break your record, but I guess your record is broken.
It is. But it felt really good.
I bet it was good to be home.
It felt really nice.
Right. How's that snow last week?
Well, right?
I didn't.
Hey, you predicted it.
Every
predicted it.
Single
snow in the Midwest.
Time.
Snow in Chicago/Midwest.
God.
Right?
Just get used to
for
it.
For March Madness. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Listen, in a way, we knew winter sometime in March was going to be like,
right.
I'm still here. Look at me.
Put those tank tops on.
Yeah, the
ladies.
Daffodils are like, for the love of, the daffodils
right.
are just like, come on. We had like a 1 week run and now daffodils are already like on a limited, they're on the clock.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. I don't know. So, the topic I want to talk about on today's show is, I saw a quote from Albert Einstein that said, creativity is intelligence having fun. And it resonated with me this week. And I was thinking about how much fun people think we have.
Who has?
The design coach. Like, oh my gosh, your job sounds so fun. Like, it sounds so fun. And I was remembered those memes that people have, like what my mom thinks I do and what I really do,
right.
or what people think I do and what I
your
actually do.
Your head's exploding. Right.
Yeah, I think it's the grass is always greener kind of complex, mm-hmm. where you always are looking at something like, oh, that person looks like they have such a fun thing.
Except this doesn't apply to Kylie because her job is fun.
Mm. Okay. What you know of it is fun.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I
no, her job is fun. And listen,
I think that
on balance, my job is fun. I don't know if that's how I look at it.
Right. Well, if you're not looking at it as fun.
But I don't know if I'm looking at it as fun as I'm looking at it these days as more rewarding.
Okay.
Enjoyable.
Okay.
Fun seems to, in my lens, fun seems to downplay the importance of how we actually can use design in a professional way to have fun and change people's lives and enhance them.
Right.
Sorry, it's just me being a little bit more of a purist in it. I get it. I know how it sounds. I understand that it's like, can't you just call it fun?
Right.
Like, aren't you having fun? Not always. Because I'm going to tell you what it takes to really be good in the service business. And it's something that I want to touch on today's show. And Nancy, I think I'm really looking for your feedback because you have a lens that is calibrated with multiple vantage points. you produce this show.
Yes.
You run the station.
Right.
You own the station.
Right.
Right. You have to manage people. You have to work with advertisers. Like you have a lot of different relationship dynamics that you have to manage, not mm-hmm. just independently, but also in unison.
True.
And you have to do it in such a way where I'm sure if people on the surface said to you, radio sounds fun, you'd be like, yes, but that's not everything that I do.
No.
Is fun. Okay.
I mean, I clean the bathroom here.
I think that's like everyone's job.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so.
Okay. So I am looking at this and although creativity and intelligence, having fun, Albert Einstein, I get it. That's a great concept. I think there's something that I think is much more of an interesting topic for us to talk about. And it has to do with the anticipation in the service business. In other words, I don't know about you, but I know this in my job. My job is to think about how many things could go wrong or what might go wrong.
Right.
To be able to double check systems, people, and suppliers to make sure that everything goes off as planned.
And if it doesn't, to make it appear as close as you can. As everything is going.
That goes
planned.
Without saying,
right.
because true pros deliver through the mess.
Right.
You know that I've said that before. Mm-hmm. I want to repeat that. True professionals in any industry know how to deliver through the mess.
Of course.
Personally, they just know how to deliver. It doesn't matter what's going on in their world. When the lights in the operating room come on, they got to do their job. Right. When the lights of the stage come on, they have to be able to do their job. I think that's anybody. I think mm-hmm. pros deliver through the mess. What I think is an essential component of also enjoying what you do is the piece that I was referring to just a minute ago, which is there needs to be a healthy paranoia in the complexion of a good service provider that makes sure that the people you rely on to provide the experience or the outcome, that they're doing their job.
Right.
There is, at the leadership level, a certain amount of paranoia. Perfectionism, maybe, mixed with paranoia, that makes you and allows you to be able to pivot and pay attention. It almost forces your situational awareness to a completely different level that I think most task-driven people, task-driven opportunities,
mm-hmm.
or postures, let's just say, mm-hmm. might not pick up on.
True.
There's an intuition in paranoia. An intuition, like, I kind of got the sense. I heard something in the voice.
Mm-hmm.
There was something in the timing.
Your gut.
I'm not sure. And I'm not saying paranoia as in debilitating paranoia.
Right. Like, oh my God, everything's going to go wrong.
No. That's actually lack of optimism. So paranoia right. can't, and this is, I think this is the discussion today. Like, I know paranoia is one of those things where everyone's like anti-stress.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain amount of move your you-know-what.
Right.
Get your you-know-what in gear.
Right.
Right? That forces people to actually wake up and put themselves in a position to calibrate you
mm-hmm.
to understanding the situation that you're in, the opportunity that you have, and in the responsibility to deliver. Sometimes the obligation to deliver, but more important, the desire to deliver. Do you desire to deliver?
Right.
Some people don't. There's not a burning desire to deliver. Some people just don't want to be hassled. Like, their objective is, I don't want to be hassled.
Right.
They want to stay comfort zone. They want to stay linear. They want nothing to change. They fight hard to get it to a point where it won't change.
I will meet your expectations, but I will not exceed them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I will.
And at the high-end service provider mindset that we have at the Design Coach, that's what it takes. It takes thinking of the things that need to happen, but also thinking of the things that might, and putting contingency plans in place to make sure there's a backup.
Right.
When we come back from the break, I want to dig into this, Nancy. I want to dig into, I don't know, if I think there's a good stress.
Of course.
In the form of motivation. And I think that there's a good type of paranoia. And I want to dig into that as it relates to being a high-end service provider and a motivated individual. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Good morning, Nancy. Listen, am I off base on this? I think I'm onto something because I want to expound on this topic. And good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Listen, we're talking a little bit about paranoia, perfectionism, and the need that needs to be a component of the how much you enjoy your job.
Right. In other words, but you use two words.
Okay.
You use healthy.
Yes.
And motivation.
I did.
Those are the two keywords, I think, in conjunction with paranoia, that you have to, you know, because I think that's where you're going. There's a healthy amount of everything.
Okay, so let's just go foundational on someone's personality. Let's start there. Let's just say you want to be great at your job. Part of being great at your job means being able to tend to the details when you need to, knowing when to get in the weeds and when to be at 40,000 feet,
mm-hmm.
when to care and when not to care. That transmission can be difficult for people.
That is true.
If you are a carer if you're a carer all the time of all things, that can be weird.
Right. Especially owners.
Can be, because you can't be.
Because you live it 24/7.
Well, you'll never scale. As an entrepreneur, you'll never scale because you end up doing everyone's job for them. Right? And you can't do
absolutely
that. You can't scale that way.
No.
So where I'm going with this is I just looked up paranoia and I want to start with the foundational understanding of optimism versus pessimism.
Okay.
I think if you're an optimist, your paranoia is healthy because it never goes dark.
I think you can manage it
better
to be healthy.
Yes, I think you can manage it to be healthy.
Right.
And then there's the paranoia that I think if you're not an optimist, there's the paranoia that then goes dark. And I think that that's found in the very definition of it. And the very definition is unjustified suspicion mm-hmm. and mistrust of other people and their actions, or unwarranted or delusional belief about being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Oh, you're just being paranoid. But I'm searching for another word here that describes in the service capacity. I love what I do, and I've noticed that this being a thread in high-end service providers who are elite. They, you know, Michael Jordan, for instance, wasn't paranoid,
mm-mm.
but he did hold people accountable when they didn't raise their level of play to his level of play. And whether they liked it or not, right?
Right.
In order to be in that orbit, they had to.
Right. It's expectations.
It's expectations. So maybe like exceptional expectation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Could be.
But the world is full of people, okay, who are skating by, giving just enough, like you said in the last segment, they're giving just enough to meet expectations but not exceed them.
Right.
You will never be elite meeting anyone's expectation.
No.
No. And even if your expectation is high, that's still not it.
Right.
Because you're always thinking to the next expectation.
It's okay? The whole dress for the job you want, not for the job you're applying for.
Yeah.
Theory. Act
in the capacity as well.
Right.
Because you can't just look it. Because eventually you'll be found out. You have to act it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to live it.
You have to live it.
Because if you act it, you're going to get found out as well.
It's not sustainable either. You have to live it. Okay, you're right. So in our ethos of our company, when we talk about, you know, the concierge, the comprehensive, right, and the creative, you know, concierge service, comprehensive approaches, and creative solutions, which is where we live at the Design Coach. You have to have fun while at the same time you're always analyzing, and you always do have to put yourself in the position of making sure people do what they say they're going to do the way that your design and that your creative outcome has been engineered
right
through the eyes of the client.
Right.
If there's a deviation, then there's an expectation gap. This is kind of where I'm going about being paranoid. Like, I guess I'm kind of more asking the question mm-hmm. than I am telling people. I do believe that there's an element of paranoia that, as long as it's not debilitating, allows you to put your situational awareness meter on high alert, which in some high-end service providing situations you need to have.
Is it?
It's like head on a swivel. Okay, like
true.
Is head on a swivel paranoia, or is head on a swivel a heightened sense of situational awareness because you're making sure people are doing what they're supposed to be doing to achieve the alignment to deliver the creative outcome that you want, or in our case, not just the creative outcome, but the lifestyle outcome
right.
too.
Right.
Because we build living art. The best way that I can describe what
it's
we true. Do at the Design
yeah,
Coach is
a great way.
We build living art.
Yeah.
We build rooms that are as creative as any piece of artwork you're going to put in it. At least that's what we shoot for, right?
Right.
And those are the types of homes we want, and those are the types of clients that gravitate our way, are people who want something so unbelievably special and so unbelievably different that they want to live in art and in creativity and something that totally works for them.
Is it paranoia, or is it a sense of urgency?
Okay, but you're describing all parts of paranoia, right? Like parts of, I mean, I guess maybe it's not paranoia. Maybe that's the wrong word. I'm trying to find the word.
The only word in the definition that hangs me up is unjustified.
Right. No, because experience tells me I'm completely justified
in
to make sure contractors
paranoia.
Do their
right.
job.
Right.
Especially when the owner, who I trust, of the contracting company.
Right.
Is trying to align his next or her next level down. And I have to trust in their ability to align
right.
their people. Because
so
they're my people.
Right. So it's that word that's hanging
see,
me up
I,
on the
do,
word
do you see
paranoia.
Where I'm, do you see
I do.
Where I'm kind
yeah.
of coming from in the in right. the discussion of today's show is, and it's, I don't even think it's high-end service provider. I think it's just good at your job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things that I will use to illustrate and maybe talk about, in you and I both have this experience, is, you know, we both are business owners.
Mm-hmm.
We are both managers of people, and we're actually both parents.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're also your daughter and son, meaning as your parents age, are they telling you the right? Where's your sus? Okay, so my daughter Zoe would call it the suspect meter. Mm-hmm. She calls it the sus meter. Like, she'll hear something like that's sus, mm-hmm. like that's suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that in this conversation? But you develop that with all these relationships. You develop it whether or not your employees are telling you their real aspirations, or are they shading it to not get in trouble? Are they overblowing it to make it sound like they did a great job when they maybe didn't?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to sort of
the reality factor.
Yeah,
right.
You have to read. You have to really be able to not only just see it with your lens, but you're also trying to figure out what kind of level of communication in today's world of being, let's just say, confrontationally uncomfortable. Like, nobody wants, right? Like, remember when I said to you on social media, everybody wants to be a critic, but nobody wants to take critique?
Right.
That's impossible to survive as a society when you want to give criticism, but you cannot take critique and you cannot self-school.
Okay, well, based I will on try feedback. To stop.
I don't. I'm saying this, but here's what
but
I'm saying.
But you're right.
But as a business owner, but as a parent, right? As a parent, here's another one. You naturally, as your kids are growing, you're suspect of where are you going this evening? When will you be back? Who are you hanging out with? What are you doing? Like, there's a net. Now, is that paranoia or is that just known as active parenting?
Or is it because of what you did?
I don't know that this paranoia, as clinically defined, as clinically defined, is a horrible thing. In fact, I think it. I was trying to figure out after I read that quote from Einstein. It's like, well, I don't just have fun. I'm not just creative, and I try to think I'm relatively intelligent, but it's not just about having fun. It's about trying to deliver an outcome, at least in our business it is. And in order to do that, you're constantly aligning, which we've talked about on air, but you're aligning through coaching and you're aligning through teaching, but the trigger for the alignment is a desire, but it's also a paranoia. Like, if I don't do this, will it work? Like, if this person doesn't understand this the way that I'm explaining, is it going to work? And the answer is no. Okay, then do I need to affirm their reaffirm and confirm their understanding?
Right.
And people sometimes your vision, if it's not their calling,
they don't.
This is where culture matters in my business. Like, if your vision for the service that you're trying to provide people, if it's not your people's calling to provide that,
you can't force it.
You can't force it, and it's always going to be misaligned.
Right. It's not going to work.
Right.
Right.
So they have to buy into that level of paranoia, which for some people causes stress. And in this stress is a horrible thing. There's stress where stress meets passion and obligation and responsibility and love. Like, if it causes stress, it's how you wear it.
Right.
Is stress if you're feeling stress, is that life's way of telling you to get moving?
Or to step back for a minute. Right.
I'm trying to parse this on today's show about, what role does that situational awareness / paranoia / head on a swivel? What's the word there? Like, and maybe there's not one word.
The word that keeps coming to me is passion. Because you have a passion for the outcome. In your case, your entire team has a passion for the process. You have a passion for...
Okay, but does passion hold people accountable? I don't know.
Well...
I mean, passion is a driver, but I don't know that... See, where I'm coming from is the alignment. I'm coming from the... Because I can try to inspire people with passion.
Right.
But that's not enough. Like, at some point, they need the tools and they need the teaching to be able to convert your passion into action.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So passion, to me, like, but paranoia and the checking in on the alignment, like, did that happen? Is this happening the way that we want? Soliciting the feedback, too. Like, did I explain that the right way? Are you clear on the understanding? Because maybe the actions are different than the words.
But are the is the team ever going to have, is your team ever going to have the same paranoia slash passion slash expectations as you, the person that ultimately is responsible for the outcome, no matter who is responsible for the parts of the outcome?
You don't need them to have the same, but right. You need them to have the majority. Some. No, right. Not even some. Some doesn't work.
No, true. That's true. Those you are know people this. That
some,
meet
some doesn't work. Yeah, right. Some never works.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's not true. If you're in the federal government and it's just a big bloated agency, some works. Some level of interest and some level of helpfulness might work.
Right.
When you're trying to become a highly performing, right, you know, Navy SEAL style design team that is both, right. You know, operationally, right, trying to perform at a very high level.
Some isn't going to work.
That's some's true. Not going right. to work, right? It's right. like kind of being into being, you know, a real pro. You can't mail it in.
Right.
Right? Or else you're, right, getting shelved. So when we come back from the break, mm-hmm. I want to explore more of this because I don't think we've figured this out yet, right? I don't think we haven't really, but at what level does paranoia become debilitating? And at what level does a really healthy paranoia of your process help you stay and keep people accountable? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Okay, well maybe, okay, this is hilarious. I'm holding my phone and I'm Googling answers. You are literally holding a thesaurus.
I use this thing all the time.
Like,
it's like
literally
20 years old.
A thesaurus.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Actually,
are
it's
you
a
catching
dictionary
reruns of Family Ties later on your VCR?
Yes, I'm on my VCR. Shut
anyway,
up.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip.
Look at that paranoia.
Susano. So I have a couple things. We're talking about professional paranoia and exactly at what level does that become debilitating? And at what level does it allow you to become a high-performing professional that accounts for, right, high performance? I don't know. I'm interested to talk a little bit and to explore this. I don't know that we're even going to come up with any kind of answer here on the show, but I think it's worth talking about because I think there's such a negative connotation of someone being paranoid because, you know, when someone's a low performer and then you set an expectation because you think something could go wrong, they'll say something like, oh, you're overthinking it.
Exactly.
They'll
around on you.
Yeah, they'll literally gaslight you and thinking that like you're being crazy for wanting to have a certain service expectation, which
right.
is not true. Like, and this is never more true than for subcontractors. Like, I will tell you, there is a certain part of subcontractors in some regions of the country who perform at a different level because they understand they're working on multi-million-dollar homes and they treat them as such. And there are a level of contractor who has it so good working on multi-million-dollar homes that they take those homes for granted. I have witnessed this in my 25 years. Okay? I have. And I'm telling you that it's real.
Yeah.
Okay? And I am constantly doing alignment because I am slightly paranoid to make sure that what I'm actually trying to achieve creatively is getting implemented in the field the way that we want, because I rely on those contractors to be able to understand what I'm doing, to be able to deliver the way that meets the client's expectation and ours.
Yeah.
So is it paranoia or is it anxiety? Okay.
Oh, okay.
I think we've started to figure something out here, okay?
By the way, for the record, yes. My thesaurus that is something like 20 years old doesn't even have the word paranoia or paranoid in it. So
how
apparently
old,
it wasn't
how old
a thing.
Is it? Let's, how old is it? Like 1850?
Let's see. It was published.
I mean, I saw you blow the dust off of it, so I know.
2002 edition of Webster's Dictionary and Roget's Thesaurus, abridged edition. It's two books in one.
Oh my gosh.
Because, you know, I'm
never,
nothing if
never
not efficient.
Was there a man who made more money than Roget prior to 2011.
But
Roget is sitting on a beach somewhere, or descendants of Roget are like, oh my gosh, when we signed that Google deal, that was amazing. Anyway, so
well,
it says
I'm gonna
here,
have to get rid of
it says here what causes paranoia. This is interesting. This is from Better Health Channel. It says low self-esteem. Now, I want to talk a little bit about low self-esteem, and I want to talk a little bit about a submissive service mindset. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this. If you are to truly serve, you have to be willing to open yourself up to be someone else's instrument.
Yes.
That, so you play this role as a designer of being someone's creative instrument and then also counselor.
Yes.
You have to both lead and follow. You have to both lead and follow
for
simultaneously.
Sure. For sure.
Okay. I think that being a good service provider, the advice that I think is really helpful for professionals who are going to be even going into that business and you want to succeed, you have to be able to both lead and come up with recommendations that make sense. But then you also have to check yourself down and also follow to be able to really hear and be empathetic enough to understanding and putting yourself in the client's shoes.
Right.
Even if sometimes those shoes are too big, too small, don't quite fit. And then you've got to find a way to right size that understanding in a way that helps the client understand your point of thinking too. So there is that negotiation between leading and following that I don't think if you don't understand that that's really the balance, it's really impossible to be a good service provider if you aren't willing to lead and follow. If you're only following and taking orders, then you're just sort of, you're being robotic.
You're a worker.
You're just following orders.
Right.
Right. But if you're not making
meeting.
But if you're not making recommendations, then you're not value add.
Right.
And we all want people in our organization that are value add, right? I mean, we mm-hmm. want the people who will do it the way it's supposed to be done, but you also don't want it to be so robotic. And this comes down to your management style, right? Like if you browbeat good ideas, you'll browbeat them and they won't give them anymore.
Right. Right. Well, and you can't cookie cutter everything. I mean, and that's what you're looking for. You hire a team and surround yourself with a team that's going to not just be a good cog in the wheel, but also add to or bring an outside or different perspective that could help move you forward. And is not a drain on the team. That is not that gives you ideas.
Right. So go to paranoia and anxiety. Here's where I think the difference is. I think a paranoid posture in some settings is absolute. Okay. So do you want a paranoid lifeguard? You do.
Sure.
Okay. Yes. I'm not saying a totally paranoid lifeguard.
No.
No. But do you want an anxious lifeguard? No.
No.
Do you see what I'm saying? So
right.
Anxiety versus paranoia.
Right.
Now all of a sudden it gets really interesting because it's like, okay, what percentage of paranoia I think maybe be the wrong question. It's not about paranoia. I think it's about when you apply it. So I think if you're paranoid all the time, that's not great.
No.
Like, I'm not paranoid when I'm making selections creatively. I'm not.
That comes from self-confidence.
Okay, I get that. However, when I'm trying to dial in on what the client really wants from a lifestyle aspiration, where I'm really trying to understand what they want and it has nothing to do with color
or shape, you're having trouble understanding.
Could be.
That's when you get.
But I can't be anxious about it.
No.
But I can't. I think that my wanting to get it right. Right? I mean, maybe it's empathy, but that's too soft. Like,
yeah.
I've seen people misappropriate empathy pretty badly.
And empathy doesn't necessarily
And it comes off saccharine,
motivate.
And it doesn't come off genuine. And so I think that, do you want a paranoid service provider that doesn't miss a trick? And I think that on balance, the answer to that question is, that's kind of what's missing from today's complexion.
Right.
Is that you want, because I see it in young professionals. Like, I have some team members who are great because they want to deliver and do a good job and they're slightly paranoid by it. The key is to not let that paranoia transition to anxiety. And you do that from this perspective. You do that from, I would say, I don't know, the proper coaching and the proper teaching, right? Of encouragement, right?
Right.
And criticism in a way that is coachable.
Right.
And doesn't sound punitive.
Right.
That's hard to do. That is really difficult to do. And especially if you're like a young entrepreneur or you're a young manager, I don't know how you, that can be a tricky balance there.
Everything under paranoia, though, is so negative.
I know. This is why I'm struggling for the word.
I think it's not paranoia. It's, I don't know what it is, though.
Okay, so if I were to make it a cocktail, let's just take it to the cocktail.
Oh, sweet. All right, I'm in.
Ready?
Yeah.
It's a dash of suspicion.
Okay.
It's a dash of overcare.
Okay.
It's a this is the paranoia cocktail. So it's a little bit of suspicion. It's a little bit of overcare. It's a little try hard. Not for try hard's sake, but because you actually just try hard.
Right.
I literally had a team member say to me, I don't want that to be seen as try hard. No, it's not being seen as try hard because you literally try hard all the time.
Right.
So what do you care how it looks?
Right.
What do you care about the optics?
It's not fake.
If you always try hard, then it's not try hard.
Right.
It's only try hard when you don't do it all the time.
Right.
And it looks weird because now you're trying hard.
Right. Like, what got into her today? Right.
That's when it looks weird. So it's a dash of all of these things. It's a dash of stewardship and oversight. It's a dash of management and management and orchestration. Right? I mean,
I like,
okay, so let's just say you're a conductor. You know, I don't know. You have all these instruments playing. They're supposed to play in concert. Are you listening for all of these things? You're listening for when someone's off or out of tune or, right? You're like, aren't you listening for all of those things? Is that sensibility as a conductor paranoia?
No.
No. So what is that word?
I don't know, because I'm sure that a conductor is going to be paranoid about.
I mean, I'm coming back.
Paranoid about something.
Do me a favor in your thesaurus. Look up stewardship, because I'm wondering if that might not be the word. I'm just wondering if stewardship by definition is a caring approach to concern.
What is the meaning of stewardship? We're just going to go straight to Google.
Yeah. Okay.
Simply means taking good care of one's belongings.
I have the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Okay, now listen, that's great. Someone's home, someone's money.
Right.
Someone's project, someone's lifestyle, the things that we're charged with designing here at the Design Coach. Stewardship may be the closest thing, but I'm going to tell you that you're not a good steward if you're still not a little paranoid.
Right.
I'm sorry. Like, I still can't get away from that. Like, I can't get away from. I mean, listen, Vince Lombardi said, you know, you're going to shoot for perfection in hopes that you get excellence. You know you're not going to reach perfection.
Oh, sure.
But you're going to hope that you get to excellent, right? And I think one of the things that you have to think about, especially when you're evaluating partners in collaboration, is if they really believe the same things as you. I think this is very common. I will find that there will be a disconnect between a business owner and their employees. And listen, I've experienced this as well, where there's a disconnect in what you're saying and promising and what being delivered in the field, and there's a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm.
Clients feel that next level down.
Right, right.
And then you're constantly doing what, Nancy? You're constantly picking up the pieces. You're constantly apologizing. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing the things other than sort of advancing the relationship and running your company. You're playing catch up. See, when I said to you a few months ago that motivation was a very difficult thing to do on your own, it is incumbent upon you creating a team that wants to deliver at a high level that you have to instill the motivation with a healthy sense of purpose and, yes, passion, but also paranoia. Because you don't want to take it for granted. Okay?
I think in the next segment, what we have to talk about is the presentation/posturing of paranoia.
I think that's a great segue.
You're trying to go.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for listening on this Sunday morning. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Maybe you might be right about that. Listen, maybe there's a listener out there who is listening, who's way smarter than we are, who can, the word is on the tip of their tongue. And good morning, everyone. We're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And Nancy and I are talking about the role of paranoia and a healthy paranoia in being an elite service provider or professional at any level.
Except
in any industry.
I think that stewardship is closer.
I know.
It's got less negative connotation. So the strongest matches in the thesaurus for stewardship is control, protection, supervision, trust. Those are the four strongest matches.
Okay, but none of those are okay, so okay. But none of those are triggers. Let me just describe for you what I think the role of paranoia is. I'm a part Italian, which means I'm naturally suspicious of anybody A standing behind me, okay? And I tend to look at negative space. I tend to look at the things people don't say instead of things that they do say. You know, when people don't want to go out of their way to say something to you, that says something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, I've been trained to look at this negative space as an artist and as an Italian, where I'm situationally aware of what's kind of happening around me, and I'm naturally somewhat suspicious until you prove me otherwise.
Right.
In other words, there's a trust that's earned. But that starts with this innate, and again, I'm struggling for the word. Is it paranoia or is it protection? What is it that makes that essential element of being a good service provider? And again, I'm coming up with, Nancy, is phrases, head on a swivel, situational awareness, anticipating the client needs. Like, again, I go back to the lifeguard example. Do you want a slightly paranoid lifeguard who's standing at attention, scanning the water all the time? You do, because their job could be life or death.
But you don't want
I'm not saying that mine is. I'm not saying our job's life or death. I'm just saying, you know, there's an element of paranoia in certain jobs where, like, yes, I want the paranoid person. What I don't want is that paranoia to make that person anxious.
Right. Because then your lifeguard's jumping in every time some little kid splashes and then you think they're drowning.
Okay.
So
totally. 100%. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Now you're
freaking
out.
Yes. Okay. So is attentiveness.
Yes.
Maybe that's okay. So now maybe we're
okay. But that's you're still going back to parts of paranoia. I don't think it's necessarily the word.
Okay.
I think that you're right. I think that there's a level of paranoia because you know it's your behind. Okay.
Yeah, it's your you know what. Yes.
Right. Okay. So, but I think that, like I said at the end of the last segment, this is segment four, by the way, just so you know, in case you're paranoid about it.
And I don't get a fifth.
You do not.
And I have been paranoid about that for a long time.
I think that's how you present your paranoia. I don't think
like that. This is how you present your... you're right. It's like scars. It's how you wear your history. It's how you wear your patina.
So like when you say head swiveling around and making sure everything... Okay, that's going on maybe for sure...
Internally.
Inside your head. But at the same time... And again, I go back to Kylie. Okay. And some of the situations that she's been in, right? And having to.
And for those of you who don't know, Kylie is our director of lifestyle support, who is in the field with the clients, making sure that the design experience matches the lifestyle experience.
Right. And who has.
Design comes to life under her care.
And so somebody looks at her and says, I have 25 people coming over here in 30 minutes and I need to feed them all. And she's standing there going, perfect. That's no problem. I can do that. But in her head, she's paranoid about which vendor's going to come through for her real quick. How quickly can I make this happen? If I don't make it happen, what's going to happen to me? Is, you know, the client's going to be upset. Philip's going to be upset. This is my job. You know what I mean?
Okay, but Nancy,
so
for a minute, take it off of last minute. Take it off of last minute.
Right.
And non-emergency situation.
Okay.
Take it to just the everyday for a minute.
As
being a consistent service provider every day on a random Monday that doesn't involve a crisis situation.
Right.
Obviously, in a crisis situation or an immediate situation, you want that level of heightened sense of awareness. You want that. You want that out of your EMT. You want that out of your, you know what I mean? Your right? Any first responder. Like, you want that. I mean,
yes.
I would say that if I'm a detective or I'm a police officer, do you want a paranoid, slightly suspicious
I want a
detective?
Suspicious, thorough detective. Thorough. I don't know if I want him to be paranoid.
I know. So this is what I'm trying to find out, and I think you're right. It is a cocktail.
Or maybe I just don't want to know that he's paranoid. And that goes back to the presentation of your paranoia, right?
You know, no doubt. You're right. I'm not saying that throughout the course of this show that paranoia was the right.
Right. I mean, that's what is the word?
It's what is the word for the heightened sense of service and the heightened sense of
motivation
and attentiveness, urgency, a stewardship. Right. I mean, all of this is playing into this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all playing into the same cocktail of service that I think is essential to both enjoying your job, which, by the way, if you don't enjoy your job, it's really hard to be good at it.
True. Yeah. Well, you won't be good at it.
You won't be good at it because you'll never be able to persevere through that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the word? What, maybe it's not.
I was going to say.
Maybe it doesn't exist. And guess what? Maybe it should.
We got to make up a word?
Maybe we could come up with a word. Can you, maybe let's go to, I don't know, this is where we got to go get, we sound like the Spelling Bee kids. Can I have the root? I have the origin? Right?
Can you use that in a sentence?
Can you use that in a sentence, please? Right?
I don't know, because you're right. It's a very complex combination of things that are put together that you are... But what you're actually really trying to do is hide your paranoia.
Nancy, I don't disagree with you. The way you wear the paranoia matters, but that comes from experience. See, when you're younger, you don't wear your emotions well.
No.
When you get older, you learn to keep them more closely guarded is a way better place to live.
Well, you're talking about filters, right? When you're young, you have fewer filters. You get to be like our age in the middle, and you have your filters, and you figured out kind of how to use them.
Well, it's, you know,
but then when you get old, you lose all your filters again.
There's grace, there's poise.
Right.
There's grace and poise that teach you not to panic.
Right.
Even though inside you're feeling some anxiety, you have the grace and the poise to not let that show. And that actually has a calming effect on people. And when you're a service provider, you want that.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're a nurse in an ER or you're a doctor in an ER, you want to be calm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do any good if your nurse is running around screaming. That's not gonna help your situation, okay? So what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying?
Can you imagine an emergency room full of nurses?
But this is what I'm saying. What? Can you imagine that?
These poor people.
Your builder was running around oh my gosh, we're never going to make it. Our next house is never going to get done. It's over budget. If they wore all of that.
This is the worst color I've ever seen.
They're the worst client I've ever worked for. I hate this design. If your service providers walked around like that, you'd be like, what? No. And I get all of this plays into the complexion of and the definition of professionalism.
Right.
But it's more than just being professional. It's a level of care and a level of personal investment that makes me somewhat paranoid. Because I want it to work for them. I know how life-changing it can be for our clients. I also know, in some cases, how much money they've spent.
Right.
In fact, I know how much money they've spent, right? To be able to achieve something that we've promised is amazing.
Right.
And there's a tremendous responsibility there. We don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. So that paranoia comes in to make sure that it holds everybody, including me, accountable to the vision, accountable to the outcome, and in our case with the lifestyle, accountable to the support that experience is ongoing.
Hmm.
The closest thing I can point to is being a parent.
Right.
You know, your relationship hopefully with your kids doesn't end, right, when they become adults.
Right.
You know, you raise them.
They change, but they don't end.
You know, you're paranoid when they're teenagers. Are you getting the real deal? Are they doing their homework? Are they, you know what I mean? Are they hanging out with the right people? Are they doing the right things? Are they growing into, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are they happy?
Are they motivated?
Are they happy? Are they it's not, you know, what'd you say?
Are they going to move out?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. When are you moving out? Right?
Sorry.
But all of this plays into the relationship of the parenting being different, right? This is kind of where I'm at. I don't know what this word is, but here's what I do know. I do know that the closest thing I can point to, at least at this juncture, is emergency situations in parenting, right? Is that heightened sense of care that heightened sense of care that isn't debilitating, but is motivating.
Right.
And then when you get to exhale because you achieved it.
Right.
When that paranoia gets relieved because you made it, you did it, you achieved it, then you get to do what? You get to get paranoid all over
about
again.
The next one, right.
About
yeah.
The next one, right. Right. And that roller coaster, I will tell, I tell people who are in, you know, who work for us, that never ends.
No. Peaks and valleys,
and I'm gonna tell you right
all
now,
the time.
You, but you don't want it to because it actually calibrates the senses. I think it's like, how do you know you're really happy if you were never sad?
Right.
How do you know that you're experiencing true joy if you weren't ever broken?
Right.
And then if you were never broken, how do you know that you became
fixed? Right.
And repaired and enriched.
Yeah,
if life's too easy, then you didn't learn anything. It's, you know, when they say success is a horrible teacher, it's true. Failure helps you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're successful, you always remember what that looks like, which makes you inherently slightly paranoid because you don't want to go back there. You don't
want to
go back there, right? Because you remember what that was like. So you try to keep pushing the envelope. So I know paranoia is the wrong word, but it's not. It's I know it's not the right word, but I also know it's not the wrong word. Okay,
right?
Like
it's
I'm
derivative.
Caught, yeah.
Of
I am in
something
I am in
that we've
paranoid
said.
Purgatory. I'm in the middle. I am, Nancy. I want people to love what they do, and I want them to love. I just want them to love their life, and I want them to love where they live.
Whatever it is, it's halfway between. Completely freaking out mm-hmm. and being totally zen.
I don't know.
Don't know what that is.
I have
is.
No idea if these 44 minutes have advanced any of our conversation.
Probably not.
This understanding. But I know
no, I think it has because I think that people, whether you're managing or owning or you're running your house.
I mean, don't you want the over-communicative contractor versus the
yes.
contractor who never gets back to you?
Yes.
I mean, there's a saying, communication is respect, right?
Correct. Right.
I have a client that said to me, who's very successful, who said to me that one of the phrases that they use is, I call you, it's a reason. You call me, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an excuse. I have mm-hmm. to, right? If I'm a proactive service provider and I'm calling you, there's a reason.
Right.
So communication is respect. It just is.
Right.
Even if you don't have the answer, you want to know that you're thinking about it and
right.
that you're working at it.
Right.
I don't know how to turn, I don't know what that word is in the service provider world, but I do know this, that it is paired with and equally as important as enjoying what you do is caring about what you do.
But the design coach listeners this week have a homework project.
Yes. Find the word.
What's the word?
Email me.
Yes.
Philip@thedesigncoach.com. Anyway, have a great Sunday, everybody. Thank you for listening. You've been coached.